Hello, this is Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International, and we're on our ongoing mentoring training call. This is May 26th, so welcome everyone. Yeah, and our next call, just so you know, for our schedule, so in June we've got Tuesday, June 9th. Yeah, then the 23rd, so you can mark your calendars for those. And, yeah, we were just talking about, just for a moment, about on 60 Minutes showed a program last week about the U.S. Postal Team when they were, competing in the Tour de France, and when Lance Armstrong won his many wins. And so they had, there's a federal grand jury investigation right now as to what went on then with drug doping. And so Tyler Hamilton was one of the main guys, and George Hincappy also were two of the main people that helped Lance to win those races. And so they have now, I guess over half the team has testified in court that drug use was part of the basically the team requirement, you know, that they were given these, and that there was a very strict, you know, drug doping schedule and all kinds of things. And, during that whole time, everyone was basically sworn to secrecy, you know, that they couldn't, weren't allowed to say anything. And and then Lance went on to win all those wins, but it looks like most of the team was, doing a lot of drug doping, EPO and human growth hormone and testosterone. And now the sport is getting cleaned up a little bit more, but back then it was much worse, I guess. And even if major team members did test positive, they just looked the other way and they didn't even say anything. Can you believe that? So it's like in baseball, you know, was that way, and I think still is in some respects. They protect the team players. So there's a lot that goes on. But now people like Tyler Hamilton are, you know, that's the kind of people that, you know, like Sue, dealing with your area of grief and loss. I mean, he's going through tremendous grief and loss right now. He tested positive for 2 years ago in a race, and then was suspended for 2 years from the sport. And so then he had to now he has retired, but he's, you know, gone through a tremendous depression. You know, he was talking about on TV, and, you know, he lost his career, he lost his reputation, and lost his family. And after all these years of working so hard to get on a team, he said, you know, right at that moment that he got on the team, was ready to make the team, they said to him, the management said, yeah, you can make the A team. I think you're ready to do the Tour de France, but there's just one more thing. You know, training isn't enough. That was the message. You know, training isn't enough. You need to do this. They called it, quote, therapy. That was the drugs. Yeah, you need therapy.
Do the management have to pay any price for this? Because, I mean, it's kind of their fault, isn't it? I mean, the person has a choice, but...
Yeah, the choice was, if you don't take drugs, you don't make the team, basically.
Yeah.
That's what's going on right now with this federal grand jury investigation, is to see if there was who has to... people might be going to jail for this. The team members might, if anyone lies about their drug use, then they could go to jail. The team management, you'd think that they're the ones that really are at fault as well. And so we'll see how it plays out in the federal grand jury. You can go to Google it, you know, Lance Armstrong and U.S. Postal Team drug use or federal grand jury investigation, and there may be people going to jail for drug trafficking, for all kinds of things. And the other sad thing was that, apparently some of the team members tested positive back in those early days, and they thought, oh, geez, if they test positive and you know, this gets out, it'll be look really bad for the sport. And, you know, Tyler said they'd lose their sponsorship. Tyler said he would lose his job. 60 other people would lose their jobs, all the support people. And so the governing body of the sport basically just turned the other way and didn't report the positive test. You know, so the big name people didn't get caught. You know, like possibly Lance Armstrong, and whereas now Tyler, other people did get caught, and you know their whole careers are ruined because they, you know, got booted out. So it was just you know, this preferential treatment for top athletes, and the corruption in the sport is not good at all. So I just bring that out because it's a really big news right now, and it'll probably be, you know, front page news, you know, when some verdict comes out as well. And it's but athletes who have taken drugs in the past, you know, someone like Tyler could really use Sue. He could really use your services since you're a specialist in the grief and loss area. You know, he's,
well, yeah, and loss of identity, because he identified with being an athlete, and now he's kind of exposed as being a fake.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Drug user and all of that, and that, and that secrecy kind of thing that all these years, for, you know, since say 1999 when Lance first won the tour, you know, that's how he's had to keep these secrets all that time inside, and he didn't, his family didn't even know until in 60 Minutes he said he just told his family 4 days ago, and it was brutal. Yeah, and then he decided to go public, and now is you know, going through. But I've dealt with athletes before with in my practice as a sports psychologist who've gone through the same kind of thing where they've had to you know, they got caught with drug use, and now they've had to kind of try to create a new identity, as you say, Sue, a whole new life for themselves to try to get back to something else. You know, I worked with one athlete that was a cyclist, a woman that was caught, and she basically had to, she still loved fitness, but she had to, you know, find another way for herself. She got into, like, softball, just playing for fun, and other sports where it wasn't as competitive and where she didn't have to prove anything. But there was all the effects. You know, she had all kinds of joint problems afterward because of the steroid use, you know, and liver problems. There's all kinds of major physical problems that can happen as well as the psychological ones. So, yeah, it's a lot more prevalent than you might think, the drug use out there. So it's in high schools and in colleges and on the professional level. And hockey, I don't know, Nicole, do you know much about hockey? If it's,
no, I haven't really heard much about drug use in hockey.
Yeah.
Definitely in baseball, you know, that's the big thing. But I really haven't heard of anything. And honestly, I don't know if they have any kind of program in place like Major League Baseball does in terms of, you know, the testing and things like that. So I'm not even sure.
Yeah. Track and field is really trying to clean up their sport. You know, after the Marion Jones incident a few years ago where she had to give back her 5 gold medals. And she was, you know, she said that, you know, I've been tested 165 times. I've never tested positive. And they were saying on 60 Minutes, what does that mean? Absolutely nothing. Because you think, oh, wow, well, she's really tested. Lance says, I've probably been the most tested athlete in history. But yet that doesn't mean anything when you realize that they're protecting the athletes and maybe not reporting some of the results. So, yeah, but in track and field, they now, a lot of the sports, what they need to do and what track and field is doing is they test athletes randomly prior to. That's when all the drug use is going on, is not during the event, but preparing for the event. And they can go now to anyone's house, you know, any time during the year and just knock on your door and say, we need a urine sample, kind of thing. So it's a real kind of invasion of privacy athletes feel for themselves, but they have to do that to, you know, to try to clean up the sport. So, you know, it puts a suspicion over everyone when anyone does an extraordinary, you know, accomplishment. You think, well, were they on drugs? what were they taking? So, Yeah, but it's an issue to be aware of, that athletes are always looking for an edge. But here's something that you could think about, you know, in terms of when, on your blog, on your websites, and, you know, your emails, communication with people, you know, think, well, okay, this is a big thing in the news now. How could I have another spin on it, you know, to or create some news myself or yourself for, you know, out of this? So you take a piece of news like that and... And so I wrote a little piece on my Facebook page just saying, you know, the U.S. Postal Team and Lance Armstrong and, you know, and drugs in sports was my headline. And then I said, I found athletes are always looking for an edge, a competitive edge. What's another way to get that edge? Or I found a much better way to get that edge. And then I put a link to my website where I talked about that, you know, the mental part of training. Because all of us have that that mental edge that we can teach people, the performing edge. You know, that training your mind is one of those untapped resources, I think, that's so overlooked. So athletes are always looking for that edge. Why not? We have the ability to give them another edge that's legal, right? And so you can, you know, take something that's happened in sports like that in the business or in the news, and then create your own spin on it and create something, a healthier alternative for people to meet that need. So, that's the news, or the latest news from that's going on right now. Let's see. So I wanted to talk about... e-books. Sue, I know you had a question about the materials that we presented in the course here. If you know what to do with, if you can use those and how to use them, that sort of thing. I think what I'll do is I'll send out an email after this to you to just I guess describe that in more detail a little bit. So, but basically, yeah, if you use the materials in the course, if you can just put my copyright or something at the bottom, or that would be great. But you're free to take any of the materials and change them for your own use, you know, like the questionnaires and that kind of thing. You know, put your name on them and that kind of thing. But you're free to, and also to, you know, do your own writing and your own spin on the kinds of things that you've learned from the course. So I guess the best way to do it is just to, I'll send you an email with a, you know, kind of how that works and all. That'd be the best thing right after this, when I've got it all sort of, you know, written out. So it's not, yeah, so if that's okay, what were you thinking, Sue? But what kind of example were you thinking of?
Well, specifically marketing materials and a brochure and information on my website. I'm pretty conscientious about plagiarism, being in school and having to cite everything, you know, making sure I don't steal somebody's verbiage. But I wanted to use certain things the way you say them, they can't be said any better, and I don't want to mess up what I'm trying to say by changing the words.
Yeah.
So, trying to promote what performing edge coaching is, because you say it better than anybody, but I don't necessarily want to refer to you on every line. You know, then they'll go to you. They won't. They'll go, what's she talking about? Let's go to the expert here.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Sure, yeah. So I think, yeah, the best way is to, well, say you're a performing edge, certified performing edge coach, so that you, you know, give, you have that credibility, and then I would say, you know, if there's a direct quote from me or whatever, then, you know, if you can... quote me, that would be great. If you want to, you know, just take the same thought or whatever and put and then just put it in your own words, then you could do that without, you know, without putting my name there, kind of thing. Because you know, you're free to, you know, express your own thoughts about it and that kind of thing too.
Well, I'm just to keep it from getting all cluttery, like on a brochure or on a website page, could I just cite you once at the bottom, and then instead of having it, because you know APA style, you have to, every time you put three words together, you have to put the citation, and I don't want to.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. So just
burn up that much. So just once at the bottom, maybe?
Yeah, that's fine, yeah. And just put my name and website there. That would be great. Author of your Performing Edge. That'll help clarify that. Yeah, because I want you to feel like you can express yourself. However, that's great. Yeah, one person, took one of my articles in the past, and it was the entire 1,000-word article, and word for word, but they entirely removed my name and my bio and link and stuff, and that's not okay, I think. And then they put their name there, and so they wrote the entire article. So that's not okay, I think. To you want to give somebody credit for an entire piece that they did. If there's a quote, but you could just put, but like you say, I understand. You can't, you don't want to put my name after every three words, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because I want you to be able to promote yourself and be able to, get all the business that you can for sure.
Okay.
So that sounds great. Yeah, yeah, and are you putting together anything, cards or anything, or on your website? You mean?
Well, yeah, I'm just tweaking my website page on the Performing Edge Coaching and trying to be very careful not to steal everything from you. But like I said, you say things in ways that are the most powerful ways to say it. So if I change it too much, it won't say the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think if you just put it at the bottom, just it's great. Yeah, just put a link there. That would be great. And then I always ask people if they come to me, how did you find out about me? And if they, if they found about me through your website or whatever, always through you, I'll refer them back to you, of course. So, yeah, that would be great. So that sounds good. Yeah, Nicole, are you working on your cards and website too?
Yes. Yeah, I actually have my business cards, my first ones.
Great.
May change them at some point, but yeah, so I have those, and I have the bones of everything else constructed. Like, I have a WordPress blog address, and I have my website address, but I just haven't yet put any information on there.
Yeah.
And I have the Facebook page, too, that everything is a coming soon, so I have to get to work on exactly how to kick that off, and put the right information to start with as the initial thread, and then start plugging it in on other Facebook pages, like, come look at this one. So,
good.
Nicole, this is Sue. Can you give us the link to your Facebook page so I can follow you? Right now it is just, let me bring it up here. Yeah, it is actually right now just my name. Mm-hmm. It's Nicole Engler, MA, MS. Those are my degree initials. And then after that I put Certified Performing Edge Coach. Okay. So you could probably search it by that, because I have to get 25 people to like my page before I can give it an actual title instead of using just my name. So, yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
Like I said, there's nothing on there yet, but thank you.
Yeah, and you could give people an incentive for liking your page. Say you'll give them a free something, 10 tips for mental training or something like that. If you can.
Yeah, I thought about that, and I thought maybe, a bigger incentive for, the first 100 people or something whoever the 100th person is or something like that.
Yeah.
So I've got all that stuff swirling in my mind. It's just organizing it and getting it on there, so.
Yeah, exactly. Or you could.
I'm searching. I can't find it. No? I'm not finding it. No. I don't know how to spell everything, I guess. Sorry.
Yeah,
Nicole.
Well, that's okay. It's Nicole is Nicole, and then Englert is Englert, right?
Right. Okay. Yep. Okay. Got it. Got it.
Oh, you got it.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, yeah.
So you have a friend page, but not a business page yet.
I do have a business page. It's
okay.
Let's see. Do you have a regular page?
I have both. Yeah. Uh huh.
Yeah, so
what's your last name?
Tasker, H-A-S-K-E-R. And I also have a Facebook page, Heal Your Best.
Okay.
When we're all together, Heal Your Best.
Okay.
Yeah, so if Nicole, if you follow Sue, then...
Well, I can send you a request, I think, from my...
Okay.
My group page, or my... I think I can, or maybe I can't.
Well, I just sent you a friend request through the regular friend
page.
Okay. You'll see it.
Yeah. And we'll figure it out.
Okay, great.
Yeah, that's great to get networking going with the whole group here so we can support each other. Yeah. And, yeah, so if you have updates or if you have anything you want, a way that you want us to support you with, putting comments on your page, that kind of thing, that would be great. Yeah, and also if any of you have articles that you'd like to, or little tips that things that you've written, you can submit them to me, and then I can just be happy to put them on the Performing Edge Coach website there, blog, so you get a link, good high quality links back to your website. So that would be great. Yeah. Yeah, Nicole, are you using just doing it yourself then with the WordPress site, or did you find someone?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I found a template for the blog right now that I liked. So I just have to get it started, and kind of tell about me and then get it started with the topics and then
okay.
I think you and I were talking about I can use the WordPress template for my website, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, go to...
Yeah, so I have to figure that out.
Yeah, and you go... just go to WordPress. Is it WordPress dot... Which one is it? WordPress.org or WordPress.com? Do you remember, Sue?
I think it's .com.
Yeah,
.com is you want to leave it on the WordPress platform, but if you do it .org, you can host it on your own website.
Yeah, so yeah, it's much
okay.
better. I mean, .com, you could start with that to just, get one going there. But it's better ultimately to, have it hosted yourself so that you have more control over what's going on. And that way you can select a theme themes are the basic design of the website. And so you can, instead of paying a, web person, thousands of dollars to custom design a website. There's so many great themes out there that basically they're already, your site is already designed for you. So and they're just plugins to WordPress, meaning you just you plug in this this theme, you click install, and then boom, it's there. It's amazing. And if you don't like that theme, then you try a different theme, and all of a sudden it has a whole different look to it. So that's a great thing.
So that's for the website, though.
Yeah.
Go to WordPress.org.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If you have your website hosted, you need a certain type of like cPanel. I don't know. Dr. Joanne taught me all of this too, but you can upload a WordPress through WordPress.org. You can upload WordPress through cPanel, and then you can pick all your themes and all of that.
Okay.
Yeah, and
because I'm really clueless.
Yeah, one thing I found is, first I was going with GoDaddy, and then I found that as far as hosting a website, that they're not as good because they're not as current on WordPress. But there's another company named HostGator. That's really good, has really great support and all. And so if you go to just hostgator.com, H-O-S-T-Gator, G-A-T-O-R.com, then, and they have great support. You can just pick up the phone and they actually answer the phone, a real person, 24/7. You can call them at 3 a.m. and they're there. And they can walk you through the whole process of starting your website from scratch kind of thing. And they're very good about working with their WordPress. So when WordPress makes an update, they update it right away. And they're very inexpensive. It's about $5 a month, I think, to host the website.
So it's okay if I got my domain name through GoDaddy. I don't have to host through them.
That's correct, yeah. Yeah, it's better to...
Okay.
GoDaddy's fine for domain names, but they're not so good with hosting. So, try that other company, HostGator.com. I think GoDaddy wants you to, go with their own system. They're kind of competing with WordPress, and they have their own system, but then they want you to use their own, professionals to do things, and it's not nowhere near as good as the whole world is going with WordPress, so that's where you want to be, I think.
Okay.
Because all these thousands of programmers are constantly updating it and making it better, and yeah, it's just a really good system. So if you have other questions, you can let me know too. And then WordPress.org has just a wealth of information there too that you can find out things too. So so that's great that you're making progress on that. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Yeah. So let's see, I wanted to get into a little information about ebooks here too today, because I know that's a great area to build your list, and also to create income, and it doesn't cost anything at all to create an ebook. So yeah, let's talk a little bit about that. And let's, do you have any other questions right now that come to mind now? Or with the website?
No.
I think okay. Yeah, feel free to jump in, you guys. The power of ebooks and then ebook marketing. We talk about there's article marketing. Marketing through your having your articles out there and sending people back to your website, and the same thing with video marketing is having your videos on YouTube and other places, and that gets people back to your website. And ebooks is another way of, you think of it as ebook marketing, just like using other ways to get people to come to your site. So if you can think of your website as your hub, kind of the center of you, and then you've got all these different spokes and these different angles coming in. You have articles out there, they're sending people back to your site, videos, sending people back to your site. You can write an ebook, and that can be out there, on various websites and that's bringing people back to your site. You've got, of course, Facebook and Twitter are other ways to market and bring people back to your hub. And I clarify, I know, Sue, you already are way ahead with regard to the website stuff. And Nicole, you're just getting going on it. So just to clarify, I know some people on the call are just getting started with it too. And we used to think of it as, well, you have a website over here on the left, and then there was blogs, and then we thought, oh, okay, you have a blog over here. But now the two are together. There's no need to have a separate website and a separate blog. Make your website your blog, and that's the whole idea of WordPress. Is that WordPress is a blog, but they've made it look so professional now with all these themes it can be your website. It can serve many purposes. So you have a blog within the website, and that way the search engines absolutely love blogs, so it gets your website ranked much higher on the search engines, and it allows for a lot more interaction because people can comment on your blog. So you want to create a web. Yeah, if you have WordPress, then you have it's free, and you have a blog. It's like one of the tabs. That you can create several categories at the top. So one of the tabs can be blog. One can be about, one could be your, contact information, one could be, a tab could be, for products. If you go to drjoanne.com, you can see kind of a sample. And then Sue's website is healyourbest.com, right?
Right.
Yeah, so you can see how Sue's done it. And you can see also an example of how Sue's put the Performing Edge Coach, that coaching section on her website too. And how you could do the same thing to add credibility for your website. So that'd be great. And I'll send you, Nicole, I'll be sending you your certification seal here.
Okay.
Okay. Now that you got the exam, that's great. So anyway, back to e-books now. So we've got how you can make, you can really make substantial amounts of money very quickly with you, with your own e-book, and you can have lots of e-books as well. So let's talk about that. What exactly is an e-book? Well, an e-book is just basically an electronic book or a digital equivalent of a printed book. So, but it doesn't have to be, don't think of it as like, it doesn't have to be 200 pages or 300 pages. It could be, you know, as small as one article. I know that TJ had a question about that that came in here. TJ's listening today, too, I think. She's on a train, she said, so she can't talk. They don't allow people to talk on the train, I guess, up in Oregon, Portland. So, TJ, if you're there, your question about but how long should the ebook be? I guess the answer is it's whatever you want. It runs the gamut. I've seen ebooks from just three or four pages, basically like an article. But if you make it look nice, you know, maybe just have a little cover on it, which you can get, you know, real cheap at that website, Fiverr.com, Fiverr.com, and just put in that need somebody to create a cover for me. You can get a cover made for $5, a really nice one. Or you can just put your, a title and picture of you or picture of sports or something and just make a real simple cover. So you make it look like a book. And then you've got your three or four pages there. And then you make it into just, if you do it in Word, then at the top there's a place there where you go to File on the menu on the left and you click File Save, Save as PDF file, select PDF, then boom, you've got a book, basically. And so you just create it in a PDF format, which everyone can read. And I've seen books anywhere from 3 pages to all the way to 600 pages. An ebook, there's one guy that sells an ebook for, I think, 600 pages for $97 or so. Or I've seen them sold for $150 or $200. So the average, I'd say, in terms of price would be, $9.99 or $19.97. It's good to put the number 7 in your price. Usually, there's a lot of studies that show that people seem to respond to the number 7 better. Not that there's anything magical about it, but it just seems like 7 is a good number, a friendly number, and people think of it as a lucky number, I guess. So, yeah, if you can put in. You can sell them. You can make them for free, so that you build your list, and then you can also have other ebooks that are, have even more information that you can sell. And the great thing about them is you can put live links in them, so you can link to your coaching. All of us. That's one of the main things we want to do is performing edge coaching. So if you put a link to your coaching page, then and put links throughout the book for all kinds of for other products that you might have. If you're doing, let's say you have a free consult or something you want to offer people, you can put a link to that. You could put link if you have a book you're developing or another ebook. You could have a free ebook and then you put a link to that to your paid ebook. More extensive, a part two, something of what your the first one is. So all kinds of links there. Then that's really powerful. People click on those links and that takes them. They're going from your ebook right to your website to find out more about you. Maybe speaking engagements, you can talk about, how you're doing speaking for various organizations, and then you put a link there to one page on your website where you talk about speaking. So you can think of your ebook as just a way to draw people in to all the different things that you do. So ebooks, they can be viewed. How are they viewed? That's a great thing that's just totally opening up right now. That used to be just with Adobe Reader, Adobe. Everyone has that. Most people, just virtually everyone has that on their computer built in. So if they click on your file, a PDF file, then their Adobe Reader is going to open up so they can immediately read it. That's why PDF files are so great. Whereas Word files, you know, only certain people can read, and maybe people with Mac computers might be more limited. So you want to, you know, you create it in a PDF file, and then it can be read by so many things now. Mobile devices, Adobe Reader, Amazon Kindle, of course, is huge. Now Barnes & Noble has the Nook, and Apple has the iPad, and now Apple has iBooks as well. Now Sony's just come out with the e-reader. So all these different companies are places where you can put your e-book for free. And Amazon has a great arrangement where you can submit your book there. Everything's accepted, basically. And on Kindle, you get 70% of the sale. They get 30%. So it's a really nice arrangement. So you just put it up on their website. Now, for instance, with your Performing Edge, with my book, it's a printed book. Of course, I want people to buy the printed book, but you want people to make it available in several different formats. But what I'd like to do is, just put, rather than put the whole book as an ebook, just put one chapter or a sample of a chapter or a special report, and then put links to my website so people will want to buy my book. So that's the same thing that you can do too when you get a book together. You can make it, put it in different formats, but you don't have to put the entire book on as one ebook. Better to split it up into different sections, kind of thing. There's also audio books. You know, you can with an ebook, you could you could make the whole thing an audio, or you could put some audio sections in there. You could put video, links to videos in there. So it's just the whole thing is just really opening up for people. So let's talk about now who can benefit from creating an ebook. Well, anyone that wants. Basically, anyone that wants to create passive income, if you want, income to be coming in while you're sleeping, then this is a great way to do it. It's on your website all the time. You list it there, and people can be buying it, and then you can wake up in the morning and see, oh my gosh, I've made a sale or made 10 sales just from this ebook. You can, anybody that wants to generate income through the internet, can benefit from creating an ebook, and also anyone that wants to create more credibility. So if you want to, I think just writing a book of any sort gives you a lot more credibility. So, I would say go ahead and, it's something very simple. Each of us already has a lot of material we've already written. So, if you just simply put that together, into a small, you can think of it as an article or a special report or a collection of articles, then you've got an ebook right there. And, for instance, I've got one, I'm in the process of doing this week, actually, creating a ebook from a small ebook from sections of the Your Performing Edge book. And then what I'll do is, I use that, the VIPrunning.com, that internet commerce system. So I go to VIPrunning.com and I have a link from my, and so I set it up on there so that when people go to my website, they see the book, they see the ebook, and then they click on it and they can buy it right through that shopping cart. And then without me doing anything at all, it's just that's true passive income, then income can come in that way. So it's a great system to be able to build credibility there. So also I wanted to talk about, let's see, the main benefits of developing your own ebook. One thing you do is you can gain a following. So let's say some ideas for doing an ebook would be you could do a three-part ebook and have one part and then that leads right into the next, and you want to have a cliffhanger at the end of the first book. So let's say you build it. You know how TV shows, they say, so-and-so is in this dilemma. Find out what happens in part two. And you can't wait to get to the next part, right? So you want to get them developing interest in the next section, so they'll get your second ebook. So if you have a three-part ebook, that would be great. You get them. You develop this following that continues to go. Or if you've got a 10-part ebook, even better. They just they keep wanting the next section, or keep wanting to buy the next part. Another thing, you can generate more revenue and greater profits and passive income with this. And one of the great things about this is you can build up an email list of potential buyers for other products. So let's say you have a free ebook, and you put it on your website, that you know, put in your name and email here, and then it goes to a page where they download the ebook. So now you've captured their name and email. You know that they're really interested in your stuff, and then you can set up an autoresponder series, which is just a group of emails that goes out to that person who's bought the ebook, you know, following up and saying, thank you so much, glad you bought got my ebook, or if it's free, just glad you got the ebook, and I have other, and then you give them some tips. Here's some great tips on how to use the ebook. Here's some information to get you started. And you could put in, another email saying, oh, by the way, if you're interested in my coaching services, here's a link to a complimentary 15-minute consultation to see if you're the right fit for this kind of thing. So that's another way of doing it. You can also, another way, great way to use ebooks is to test the market for your products. So you're trying out an ebook to see what the interest level is in this particular area. And if there, let's say you do a free ebook, and if you're getting lots of interest, then you create a more extensive, a little bit thicker version of that ebook and sell it for $7.99 or something, or for $19.97. So you can start with the free one and then lead people to the paid product. And you can also expand. Another way to use the ebook is to expand your reach for your website. So you really can get more people coming to your website, and you position yourself as the true expert in sports psychology and in mental training. You know, it's amazing when you've written a book of any sort, whether it's an ebook or a printed book. If you've written a book, people see you as an authority. So I'd encourage you to give that a try. I had an example. This is an amazing story too, of just someone who came to my website a couple of years ago, and they were doing an online fitness program. And they wanted to. They saw me as being, very credible since I'd written my book. And they asked me to write an ebook for them, just as like a starter, a motivational guide for the mental training part of fitness. And it was maybe, 10 or 12 pages. It wasn't that long. And it was stuff that I'd already written that I repurposed and customized it for their company, and they paid me $5,000 for that. It was for one ebook, so that was it. I was really amazed at how when you gain credibility like that, the companies will pay you to write something, and because you're the authority, they'll give you a very nice payment for your writing. So don't underestimate. I would say always, start with a higher price. If someone asks you to do something like that, don't offer to do it for free. Say that you put a higher price out there first, and then you can always negotiate, of course. But there are companies that are willing to pay a very high price for your materials. So here's some statistics on ebooks. Is that people are downloading ebooks all the time. It's amazing. I mean, one ebook from Gutenberg.org, in one day there's like 84,000 ebooks are downloaded. So it's just amazing. Over a 30-day period, 2 to 3 million ebooks were downloaded from this one website. So people are absolutely downloading ebooks. The total ebook market is going to be, you know, within the next year or two, probably $3 billion to $4 billion. So it's just, that's a projection by Oxford University Press and all the major publishing companies. So ebooks is really where everything's going, because, and also because all these companies have created readers for them with Amazon Kindle and with Barnes and Noble and the Nook, and Apple just came out with the iBook, you know, and Sony with their e-reader. So if all these companies are coming out with these readers, you know that there's got to be a huge market for this. You know, on Christmas Day, for the customers purchased more Kindle books than they did physical books this last year. So that shows you where the market is going. Kindle, they estimated their reader sales for 2010, it was at 8 million e-books. So that's a great place to go. And if you go to Amazon.com and then just search on Kindle there, if you're interested in doing that with uploading an e-book, then you can, they give you instructions. It's very simple to basically create your PDF file and you just upload it there, create an account, and then boom, you've got your ebook all set to go. Then you can, and then they tell you various ways to market it on there. But it's all free, so you know, you're just creating a free digital product, and you're getting, with Amazon, it's, you know, you're getting huge publicity for free and huge exposure. So just amazing how much you can do with this. Do you have questions that come up, you guys, with ebooks? Any ideas that you've come up with that you've just started with, or, you know, ideas that are questions for me?
I have a question on it. If you're doing a simple ebook, something like a top 10 techniques or something like that, how much, Sue was touching on it before, like how much referencing do you have to do? Like, if I just sat down with having a sports psychology degree behind me and a clinical psych degree behind me and then this coaching program, if I just sat down at my computer without, like, looking up things and just constructed, you know, some kind of short ebook or just a list or something, you know, what type of referencing is required in that? Or is that all me if I just sit down without anything else that I'm referring to or looking through, and if I build something like that, you know, I don't want to get into, like Sue was talking about, problems with plagiarism or anything like that.
Yeah, that's a good question, Nicole. I think what you can do is just, write your... look around at what other people are doing and get ideas and then put your own spin on it. If you quote someone directly, you know, with the exact words for a, you know, sentence or a paragraph, then, it's common practice to quote that person. That's good to do every now and then just to show the credibility that you know what's out there. I think, you know, if you just look at various topics and then say to yourself, okay, how could I just put my own style into this and say it in my own words, then you don't have to quote the person, because you're, putting your own ideas and offering your own, your own style, your own experience, your own knowledge. So one really good tool, as I was mentioning, is the Dragon. You know, Dragon voice recognition software is great, so that you can actually talk your way. You know, if you read something, let's say you take somebody's paragraph that they read or an article, and then just, you know, afterward you go, well, that's interesting. They said this, so here's my reaction to that, and just be able to hook it up to a microphone and talk from your headset into your computer, and then just talk about your reaction to what someone else said, or your, if you were to coach someone using that idea, how you would do it. And if you just talk your ebook, then it's much more natural. It comes out of your brain, out of your mouth, and don't worry about editing right then. You just talk, and then you can clean it up later. Or you can go to that Fiverr.com site and have someone clean it up for $5. That's pretty amazing. And if you just put it in your own words, go over to 10 different articles and read various ideas from these different articles, so you're not just taking things from one person's article, but you're going to various places and then putting your own spin and your own ideas on each one, then you can claim that as your own, because you're compiling all these various things together and putting your own ideas together. So so hopefully that kind of, does that give you a little bit of a guideline?
Yeah. I mean, do you do an actual reference page like you would if you had a printed book? If you do have other people's work right in front of you and you're trying to summarize or pull that information together to get somebody interested, is that what you would do, is just a reference page as well?
You could put one at the end of the ebook if you like, but it's not mandatory. I think,
okay.
Yeah, we tend to think, because we're used to writing, if you're used to writing reviews and that sort of thing, and review articles for school, that, like you say, Sue and Nicole, the schools have all kinds of rules about that, of having to reference everyone, and you're basically kind of just pulling other people's ideas and articles together, and then it's like you're reviewing other people's things. And that could be one type of ebook that you did, if you just said so-and-so says this, and somebody else says this, and here's the data on this. You could do that type of ebook where you're actually reviewing data, reviewing studies on a particular topic. So you could do do an ebook of that style, like a paper that you'd write for a course. That's one type of ebook, but you're not limited to that. Nowadays with ebooks, you can basically just it doesn't have to be APA style, and nobody's going to be grading it.
Well, I guess that's the thing. I think that's what we've done for so long, is write for courses and stuff like that, but I guess it's hard to get out of that mindset that I'm writing my stuff. These are my ideas. These are my approaches. This is how I would take this information and put it to you. So I guess it's just hard to break out of that mold of, geez, am I using somebody else's material, and do I have to reference it? And
Yeah, so I know, that's true, and so I'd say, you can make a transition kind of thing and use that. If you're used to doing it that way, then that's okay to write your first ebook that way, maybe so that you get some experience with it, and if that's easier for you, do that first, and then gradually kind of find your own style and be able to just write from your own experience. And another way to do an ebook is just interviews, like we were talking about before. Nicole, if you want to work with hockey players and baseball players, try to see if you can interview some people or interview experts. You could interview, if you want, if each of you, you could interview me as an expert, and we could do a little audio interview or something, and then you could use that as part of your ebook too. I'm happy to do that for you, to help get started with your ebook and other experts, so that you that's a great way to get started too with an ebook. So there's all kinds of possibilities. So there's different styles, and so you can do the one style, as I was saying, of referencing people, and then you can do another style of ebook, just your own thoughts. And let's say you go to 10 different articles, and they each have one tip. You could pull one tip from each article, put it into your own words, And then, you know, if it's your own words and your own style, then you don't need to necessarily quote that person. And you could choose to do, like you say, a reference sheet at the end, or not. A lot of ebooks don't necessarily have that, but it's if you feel that that would add credibility, then that's good too. You have to put their names there, places you've drawn.
I wonder if it's... Excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, yeah.
It would probably depend on who your reader is, if they're the type of person that wants to know where the original sources are, or if your reader is an athlete who just wants ideas.
That's true.
Right, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, a lot of times athletes just... yeah, they just want to get, like, let's just get to the tips, you know. I don't want to know the history or the all this other, the math or the studies behind it. Just tell me what to do. often their kind of mindset. They want something simple. And you know, like the Your Performing Edge book is written in a kind of a very simple style. But, you know, there's various things. Like I just got asked to be an author for a co-author in a new book coming out on triathlon. It's called the Triathlon Science Book. And in there they said because it's called the science book, they want lots of references. I'm writing the section on mental training. It'll be published by Human Kinetics, which is the major publisher for sports books. If you go into most, bookstores, all the sports books are published by, a lot of them by Human Kinetics. So, yeah, that's an honor. And
a lot of my sports psych degree program has a lot of books by them.
Yeah, it's a very, they're way up there on the list with credibility for sports. So, yeah, so I'm used to writing the other way now that I've been out in the field for a long time, just writing for my own heart and from my own experience and training, and not so much from quoting other people. And now they're asking me to quote lots of other people. I have to go back to the other system for a little bit, but that's good to do. Also, it shows that you're aware of what's out there and what work is already being done too. So so anyway, we'll talk more next time about the ebooks too. I think there's more to discuss on this, but the great news is the highlights are the cost of printing the book is zero, the cost of advertising it is zero, and the cost of shipping is zero. So there's no printing costs because it's digital. There's no advertising. I mean, you can just advertise on your, basically just getting the book out there through your website, through Facebook and Twitter and YouTube. You can talk about it on a YouTube video, and you don't have to ship it. You just it just goes right through your through your website. So and what you do is just put a little section on the right hand side upper. I think it's always good to have an opt-in section on your website in the upper right hand corner of place to put your name and email, and so that people can fill that in, and you can say to get my free ebook on whatever topic, on sports psych tips or something, put your name and email in here, and then it takes them to a page that where they can download it. So that works great. And also ClickBook is another place you can sell ebooks to. ClickBank.com. Yeah. And people buy things there. And you could do ebooks on all kinds of topics, you know, business, education, health and fitness, and of course the sports psychology stuff, and the more specific the better. Like Sue, if you want to do something on grief and healing, or grief and recovery, and that would be great. And if you want to do it for a specific, you know, do one ebook for a specific groups, you know, for athletes healing from injury, that would be a really great specific topic, or for people who are grieving, you know, loss of family or loss of job or something. The more specific you can be, the better. And ebooks, they don't have to be, this huge, massive work. They can be just as a few tips on one specific topic. And then, what if you were to do an ebook on top 10 tips for golfers, top 10 tips for hockey players? You know, Nicole, you could do one. You had tips for for baseball players. Mistakes is a great one. Top seven mistakes that athletes make, or that kind of thing. So actually, I've got a whole section on that, on how to create content really quickly, how to do your headlines, which people really buy a book based on the headline. So next time when we talk on. So that's my cliffhanger for our talk right now, is to say what's coming up on June the 9th is a chance to, we'll talk about how to create content quickly and how to get ideas for content and how to get I'll give you, my goal for that session will be how to give you how to create a year's worth of content in one weekend and just be able to get your headlines, your topics ready, and you just can set them up early, and then you can schedule, you know, for autoresponders or for ebooks, whatever, you can schedule the content to be written or to go out at certain intervals throughout the year. So yeah, that'll be great. It's a great system that I've created to help you create your ebooks here and content of any sort. And also, we'll talk about how to market your ebook, which is really critical, how to get it out there. So, yeah, that sounds good. Any other questions before we finish up?
No, not at the moment for me.
Okay. Yeah, great. All right. Well, I look forward to talking with all of you soon. And, yeah, thanks for your questions. This is great. So, yeah, if you have other questions throughout the week, feel free to email me. And, yeah.
Okay.
Sounds good. All right. Thanks for joining me. And
all right. And thanks for your help, Sue. I'll probably be in touch with you.
Yeah, that sounds good. Okay. Great. And
All right.
Thanks for sending your exams, too. All right. We'll talk. All right. Have a good week. We'll talk soon.
All right. You too.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Bye.